Well, as I just said after Liz's prayer, there's very little in this world that we can count on with certainty. A lot of people, and I say this tongue-in-cheek because you guys have heard this expression before, but a lot of people have resigned themselves to believe that there are only two things we can count on: death and taxes, right? Not a very positive outlook. But realistically, we've all experienced disappointment in our lives. Maybe we've had friends or family members who let us down, maybe turned against us. Perhaps you made some vacation plans or you looked forward to an outdoor activity for many months, but then it was spoiled because of bad weather. Or maybe there was a special place of solitude and beauty that you could once enjoy and always go to as a place of relaxation. And yet now that place has become polluted with garbage or overrun by sprawling city limits. So the cultures in our world change. Landscapes experience erosion. Our bodies eventually deteriorate. You get the idea. Is there anything in our life that we can count on? Is there anything constant that will always satisfy us? Listen to the words Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 35. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." God's word remains even when this present universe comes to an end. Now, how is that possible? Well, God is rock solid in keeping all of his promises. In a world of uncertainty, we can count on God. Now, I hope you don't think that it's boring for us to learn a little bit more about God. If we don't desire a better understanding of God now, then why would we want to enter his presence in eternity, where all the redeemed will be praising God and enjoying him forever? No, friends, it's good for us to learn more about God. It will help to fill our hearts with a greater desire to worship him today and every day. So do we fully understand how truly blessed we are, that we have been given God's word, which we can study right now, and we can come to know more about God and his will? Maybe after watching that video, we have a little bit better appreciation for what we've been given. The Bible tells us so much about our great God. His word presents this God who is perfectly holy, that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, he is lovingly sovereign, and he is unchanging in all of his ways. And today I want us to focus primarily on that last attribute I mentioned. You see, not only is God perfect in all of his attributes, but he is unchanging in who he is. Unlike humanity and the rest of creation, which has to adapt or is prone to deteriorate, our God is immutable, meaning unchanging. He is always the same. Now, of course, we shouldn't take this too simplistically and say that God does nothing, or that we shouldn't say, well, maybe this means he never interacts with people or reveals himself at different times and different places throughout history, or that his affections toward individuals can never change. So when we say that God is unchanging, I want us to better understand what that means and what it doesn't mean. So let's first look at a passage from Hebrews 6, which I think can assure us that we can depend fully upon the Lord. Hebrews 6, 13 through 20. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is God's holy word. Now, when we say that God is immutable, that he is unchanging, the Bible is clear that there are at least four things about God that cannot change. I'll go through those today. Four things about God that cannot change: his purpose or his plan, his moral character, his being, that is who he is and his attributes, and his life, that he has no beginning and no end. And we can start with God's unchanging purpose, which is mentioned here in Hebrews 6. When we look at the context of this passage, we are reminded about God's promise to Abraham. Maybe you remember God saying to Abraham that he would bless him and multiply him, making a great nation out of his descendants. We see in Genesis how God made a promise that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore, and that they would inherit the land that he was standing in there, a land that would one day be called Israel. God's promise would stand. He guaranteed it with an oath. So we and Abraham can be assured that God was going to keep his promise. Within this promise, we even see a greater purpose. As we remember back in Genesis 12, that God would bring forth a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who would be born in the line of Abraham. Now, if God were to change his plan, if he were to break this promise, then humanity would be left without the hope of a Redeemer. But as we see here in verse 17, we are told of the unchangeable character of God's purpose. Because God's purpose and his oath are unchangeable. Otherwise, God would prove to be a liar, as we see in verse 18. We can have hope that God's purpose through Christ stands even now for us today. God has a plan for his people that remains. Our Redeemer has made a way of salvation for us. So we can hold fast to our hope in this unchanging God and his unchanging purpose. He is dependable, like a sure and steadfast anchor. Now, there are other passages in Scripture that can help boost our assurance that God's purpose is unchangeable. Last week, we considered God's sovereignty, and we saw how Isaiah 46 tells us that God is able to fulfill his purpose. But it also reveals to us that God will not change his plans. He will not carry out a different purpose. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11, "My counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purpose. I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, I will do it." And we see the same thing in Isaiah 14, verse 24. "As the Lord has sworn, as I have planned, so it shall be. As I have purposed, so it shall stand." Psalm 33 also contrasts the plans of the nations, these plans that can come to nothing, against God's purpose, which never changes. As Psalm 33 tells us, verses 10 and 11, "The Lord brings the counsels of the nations to nothing. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations." And we can see other verses that give us the assurance that God's plans will prevail no matter who or what opposes him. We see this in verses such as Proverbs 19:21 or Job 23:13. But how can we be certain that God's purpose cannot change, that he will make sure it happens? Well, we trust that our God is omnipotent and that he is omniscient, that he has perfect power, that he has complete knowledge, including the foreknowledge of everything that will happen. You see, God knows what is best, and he has the power to make sure that what is best, that is to say, his perfect will, is going to come to pass. Now we consider another thing about God that is unchanging, and that is his moral character. You see, if God's character could change, then there could potentially be a time when God was less than perfect. You could even say worse than he is now. Or that God will improve in his character so as to say that he's not as good now as he will be someday. But do you see how problematic this is? If God's moral character could change, that he could potentially change for the worse. There could be a day when he is not perfectly good. And I think that's possibly the most frightening thought about God, if we are led to believe that his moral character is changeable. Just imagine a scenario in which our omnipotent God, the one who reigns as the sovereign king, if he were to be diminishing in his moral perfection and his goodness, even to the point of being considered somewhat evil. What hope would there be for anyone? Now, this seems to be how many of the false gods were viewed. These pagan deities were unpredictable. Many times they were carrying out ill purposes toward humanity on a whim because it was a bad day for them. You see, God's people would have no assurance that God would continue to love us, that he would keep us safe for all eternity if he was able to change in his moral character. But James 1:17 assures us of God's love toward his people. As James says, that with God, there is no variation. There is no shadow of turning. There is no shadow due to change. He is not like a shifting shadow. He is firm in his moral character. Paul assures us that nothing, not even God himself, can separate us from the love of God through Christ, as we see in Romans 8. So we can trust our God, who is always morally perfect. The immutability of God's moral character also relates to another aspect about God, that he is unchangeable in his being, in his nature. Now, can God increase or decrease in the quantity or quality of any of his attributes? If that were possible, then he would cease to be God. But as God, he must always be perfect in every way, perfect in his power, perfect in his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his mercy, his holiness. To say that God can change in any of these ways would be to put limits on God. But he is always perfect. He is infinite in his attributes. Are there times, for instance, when God is not perfectly holy and just? If so, then he cannot be God. Can God increase or decrease in his knowledge? Well, that would be to put a limit on his knowledge at certain points of time. But as Psalm 147, verse 5 tells us, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. No limit. As we see in Isaiah 40, verse 14, God does not need to be given knowledge by anyone. He does not need to be shown the way of understanding. But in verse 28 of Isaiah 40, it says there, his understanding is unsearchable. There are no limits to what our God knows. Since his knowledge is complete, we read in Isaiah 46, verse 10, that he is able to declare the end from the beginning. He knows all things throughout time, from the end, from the beginning, because he is outside of time. David reasons that God has full knowledge of our days, when as yet not one had come to pass. As we read in Psalm 139, verse 16. You see, nothing in Scripture hints that God is becoming greater in any way, or that he could diminish by any degree. But instead, as God tells us through the prophet Malachi, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I don't think it could be any clearer than that. Malachi 3:6. In saying this, he assured the Jews that he had remained merciful toward them, even though they had proven to be hard-hearted throughout the generations. And we are even told in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ, yes, Jesus who experienced change in his human body, and yet it says there in Hebrews 13, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He cannot change as the divine being. God's unchanging nature is also displayed in that name, which Kathy read from Exodus 3, verse 14. This name that he told Moses to give the Israelites, "I am who I am." God is not becoming something that he wasn't before. God simply is who he is, both now and forever. Now, a final aspect of God in his unchanging nature is displayed in his life. This reminds us that God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. God did not spring into existence, which would imply that something else would have created him or brought him into being. If that were the case, then God would change from being nothing to something. The Bible is also clear that God will always exist in eternity future. Nothing will put an end to God's existence. He will not change from being something to nothing. So we can see in God's name, "I am who I am," reveals that he lives eternally. Psalm 90, verse 2 proclaims this glorious truth. "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God." God existed before creation. He will continue after the end of the age. And again, the psalmist speaks to the fact that God laid the foundation of the earth. He made the heavens. And yet, as we see in Psalm 102, 25 through 27, "They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. They will pass away, but you are the same, and your years have no end." You see, at no time did God not exist. In eternity past, in eternity future, and every point in between, God can truly say, "I am." It's a comfort that we can depend on this unchanging, this immutable God. And yet it would be overly simplistic to say that nothing about God changes. I mean, would it be right to say that God does not interact with his creation at certain points in history? We know that he does. We see this throughout Scripture. Do his affections toward individuals ever change? For instance, since God is merciful, he will, on many occasions, forgive those who are justified by faith, even though they had previously been considered children of wrath. In a similar way, he may be displeased with we who are his children when we sin. And he may see fit to discipline us, to correct our bad behavior, showing us our need to repent. We also see throughout the Bible that God has gradually revealed himself to humanity as they began to learn more about God's redemptive purpose, as he revealed a little bit about himself here and a little more there. And once we get to Christ, we see the fullness of his redemption. You see, if God never altered his actions, if he never altered how he relates to sinful humans, we would be left without hope. But thank God that he has shown us love and grace, that he has sent us the Savior. And in doing this, you see, God did not change, but he can cause us to change. He reveals himself to undeserving sinners. He softens stony hearts so that we can change in developing our love for him. Now, some people bring up examples in the Bible of God changing his mind, saying that this proves that God changes. But can the Bible contradict itself? When the Bible tells us, when God tells us, I, the Lord, do not change, and we read about the unchangeable character of God's purpose in Hebrews 6:17, are we then led to believe, well, maybe God made a mistake? Maybe he had to resort to plan B. No, there needs to be an explanation for these occurrences, and there is. For example, Jonah was to give a message to Nineveh, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown, and yet this didn't happen. The people expressed godly grief and repentance, and we are told God relented of the disaster that he had threatened. Did God have a change of plans? Well, it doesn't appear that way. In Jonah 4:2, Jonah confessed that God is gracious and merciful, that he is a God who relents of the disaster. He knew that his message would serve as a warning to Nineveh, that God would be willing to forgive these people if they turned from their wicked ways. You see, Jeremiah 18 tells us that God will many times send warnings to a nation of a disaster to come. And yet he says, if they turn from their evil, God tells them, I relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. You see, Jonah didn't want to preach to the people of Nineveh because he knew that God might show them mercy. And he felt they don't deserve mercy, they deserve his wrath. You see, if God did not show mercy to those people who repented, then I think we could say that God changes. That sometimes he's merciful and other times he's not. But he's always perfectly merciful. We read of another account that seems problematic regarding God's immutable purpose. Isaiah told Hezekiah that he would not recover from his sickness, that he would soon die. And yet God extended the life of the king after Hezekiah showed godly sorrow in his prayer. So did God lie to Hezekiah, saying in that word that he had given Isaiah? Well, God does not lie. We read that in Scripture. Did he change his purpose for the king? Did God not know what Hezekiah would do at that point? We cannot assume that. In fact, the Lord said that he was going to act, that he would show mercy to Hezekiah. He would extend his life by 15 years, not because Hezekiah had a prayer that changed his mind, but he says he does this for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Why mention David? Could it be that God is reminding us of the covenant that he had given to David, that he would put a king on his throne forever, the one who would be the Messiah? Listen to what Charles Spurgeon has to say about this merciful act that was shown toward Hezekiah. Spurgeon says, "Point to one instance in history where God has changed. Ye cannot, sirs, for throughout all history there stands the fact that God has been immutable in his purposes." Methinks I hear someone say, "I remember one passage in Scripture where God changed, and so did I think once." The case I mean is that of the death of Hezekiah. Isaiah came in and said, "Hezekiah, you must die. Your disease is incurable. Set your house in order." He turned his face to the wall, began to pray, and before Isaiah was in the outer court, he was told to go back and say, "Thou shalt live 15 years more." You may think this proves that God changes, but I really cannot see in it the slightest proof in the world. How do you know that God did not know that? Oh, but God did know that. He knew Hezekiah would live. Then he did not change, for if he knew that, how could he change? This is what I want to know. But do you know one little thing? Listen to this. Hezekiah's son Manasseh was not born at that time. And had Hezekiah died, there would have been no Manasseh and no Josiah and no Christ, because Christ came from that very line. You will find that Manasseh was 12 years old when his father died, so he must have been born 3 years after this. And do you not believe that God decreed the birth of Manasseh and foreknew it? Certainly. Then he also decreed that Isaiah should go and tell Hezekiah his disease was incurable, and in the same breath say, "But I will cure it, and thou shalt live." He said that to stir up Hezekiah to prayer. He spoke in the first place as a man. "According to all human probability, your disease is incurable, and you must die." Then he waited till Hezekiah prayed, and then came back a little. Then came a little but at the end of the sentence. Isaiah had not finished the sentence. He said, "You must put your house in order, for there is no human cure." Then he walked out. Hezekiah prayed a little. Then he came back and said, "But I will heal thee." Where is there any contradiction there, except in the brain of those who fight against the Lord and wish to make him a changeable being? Friends, because our God is immutable, we can fully trust him. If he were fickle in changing his plans, if he could be manipulated, if he could become something different than who he is or who he was, then he would be no different than a false pagan god. Is God unpredictable like Zeus? No, he is constant in his purpose and his character. We can trust him to be morally the same from generation to generation. We can trust that God will always be all-powerful, perfectly good, perfectly gracious, never increasing in his wisdom or knowledge. But the Lord is the supreme being. He's not becoming more supreme than he was before. Throughout the Bible, God is described as a rock, as we think about a solid bedrock, not a pebble that is easily moved. Just think about Jesus' words to Peter when he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, Peter had declared that solid gospel truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all who trust in him are part of God's church. They will be in his kingdom. So we can have assurance that we belong to Christ, that he will keep us safe because he is the unchangeable, solid rock on which we stand. He is our firm foundation. All other ground is sinking, shifting sand. How can we have the assurance of salvation if we worshiped a changeable God? We would have no assurance. Friends, our world is changing so fast these days. And I'm not referring to climate change, but how people in our culture are changing. Maybe you've noticed in the past decade or so of people behaving so much different than they used to. And maybe we blame this on social media or politics or racial tensions, COVID, LGBTQ agendas, whatever. But as the great theologian Bob Dylan said, the times, they are a-changing. Maybe you have come to believe that the only thing we can count on is that you can't count on anything. And yet God makes it clear that we can depend upon him. He remains the same throughout every generation. Just as he told Malachi, "I, the Lord, do not change." God is not up in heaven worrying about what's happening here, just hoping that things can eventually go to his plan. He's not working on a plan B for humanity. And that's what Samuel has to say about the Lord in 1 Samuel 15, verse 29. He says, "The glory of Israel will not lie or have regret." That is, change his mind. Samuel says, "For he is not a man that he should have regret." Again, our God is constant. He is our immovable rock, and he has given us a name which perfectly describes him. I am who I am. He is the great I am. He is not a God who was in the past or who will be in the future. And if we want to know more about our God, then we look to Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. We trust in Jesus, our unchanging Savior, who could honestly tell the people, before Abraham was, I am. He is the Lord. We trust in him. We turn to Jesus, our dependable, solid rock. And we have the assurance that our salvation is found in him. Again, God will never change his ways. He will never form a different gospel. He will never make a different way of salvation. But we can trust in our unchanging Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we can depend upon you. Many of us can have doubts. Many of us can have times in our lives where we don't feel close to you. We don't feel that you're near. But that's not because you're any different, but it's simply our fickle feelings or circumstances. God, remind us of the truth of who you are, that you are trustworthy. We can depend upon you, that there is a salvation that is sure as we trust in Christ and his work, what he has done. We don't trust in what we have done or something that we have declared, but we trust in you. You are perfect in all your ways, and that will never change. God, help us to be conformed, to be more like Christ. Not that we would make Christ more like us, but that we would be more like you. Amen.